Yesterday, we heard how the presidential race is playing out among Colorado's Republicans. We heard from two voters who are supporting Donald Trump and from some of the state's conservative leaders who are not, at least actively, supporting their party's candidate. Today, we're going to hear from one of the state's most prominent Hillary Clinton supporters, Governor John Hickenlooper. We met him in his office, and I asked him if there are things he's learned about Hillary Clinton involving emails or Benghazi or anything else that have given him pause about his candidate.
No, I really haven't, just because I had that, you know, I got vetted as a possible VP candidate. And so I had several hours with her, pretty much unfettered. And every single question I could ask her, she answered directly and candidly and was as forthcoming as I could ever imagine, a candidate for high elected office ever to be. I mean, we haven't seen someone like this. I mean, she knows more about public policy than anyone at any level I've ever met.
But what about some of the things that have bothered other people, like the speech that was leaked in which she said that there was a need for a public and a private position?
Well, I think now that was since I had talked to her, but I would assume, as I tried to put myself in her place there, when you're talking to a group, you try to keep your same core argument exactly the same, but you present it in a different light. Trade. Let's just take trade. A lot of anger around TPP now. People want to pull down. You know, when you look at TPP, there are some problems. I think there's some places where it could be improved. But I believe we need more trade, right? I think trade in the last 20 years, there have certainly been millions of Americans that have not gotten a fair deal out of it. I think we should figure out how to move them into the new economy, make sure they get the training and the support. But let's not miss the fact that we've raised a couple billion people out of poverty around the world. So trade historically makes the world safer. It helps American businesses export. Trade agreements allow us to get more, a higher level of payment for our wheat and our beef and all these things.
So are you in favor of TPP?
No, I think the TPP should be amended, improved.
And then signed.
Well, whether it's TPP or whatever takes its place, I am in favor of figuring out trade agreements that are fair to all sides. And, you know, this is a basic principle of business. You never get everything you want. And I think the same is true in trade and how the public looks at it. The public's probably not going to be satisfied completely with whatever happens. But it doesn't mean that trade is bad. It just means that TPP is bad. So going back to your initial question, it gets into when you talk about it, you talk about trade being positively, but in a positive sense, but you might come back on the TPP and say, well, that's something that could be improved.
You made it into one of the emails that came out of WikiLeaks, and it said, it is no secret that the governor would happily consider a cabinet position. Now, that may not surprise people. Because
I never heard that.
You were obviously, as you said, vetted to be VP. But would you be interested in a cabinet position if Hillary Clinton wins?
I want to go back and see that thing. Because the one WikiLeaks I did see was that one of John Podesta's emails suggested back when in 2008 that I would be a good candidate for, I forget, it was agriculture or some cabinet position. I said, no one ever told me back then I was being considered. How could I have not? Someone should have at least told me. I would have been so complimented and so, you know, it would have made me just feel, you know, more successful in the world. I have 2 years right now, about 2 1/3 years left in my 2 terms as governor of Colorado. And it's hard to imagine a place where I could have more impact and do more good. I mean, we're working on here.
Than here?
Yeah. Then in the state of Colorado, we're doing some workforce training things right now. And you know, you talk about retraining people who've their careers have been outsourced through, you know, more competitive international trade. One way to help them is to take a lot of what we're doing here around skills-based discussions around workforce training and accelerate it. So I'd have to be really pushed for cabinet positions. I love what I'm doing. If you know, the president-elect comes and says, you are essential to my vision of what we can do for this country, that's a hard thing to say no to, but I'm not going to go out and compete.
We've been speaking to voters in this state, in Colorado, and spoke with some Trump supporters over the weekend, one of whom said that she was supporting Donald Trump because she was upset that It seemed accepted in Washington that 1 or 2% economic growth was about as good as we can do right now. And she felt that Donald Trump was saying to her, I can get to 4%, I can get to 5% or 6%. What do you think? Do you think that 1 or 2% economic growth is the new normal in America?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that Donald Trump never gave us any example of how he was going to get to 4 or 5 or 6%. And 4 or 5 and 6%, those are steep hills. I think we can get there. I'm not sure we can get to 6%, but I think we can get to 3% or 4%. But we've got to really slim down. I mean, I think we've got to cut red tape. And Secretary Clinton talks about cutting red tape frequently. I think those are the kinds of differences we can make. And you know, her infrastructure, this notion of we're stuck with the traffic congestion we see in almost every major city in the country. I mean, the country is crying out for, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars of new construction. That in itself is going to, you know, help drive the economy because it's going to get people to work quicker. It's going to allow businesses to be more efficient. Broadband, she wants to make sure there's more high-speed internet. You know, everyone's complaining about the same thing. They don't have the speed to access information that they need or that they feel that they should be able to have. And that's going to take another massive investment that, again, we'll all have to pay for it. I'm not saying we don't have to find the resources for it, but it will help us grow our nation's economy more rapidly.
Well, speaking of growth, this is a state that is just booming right now, population-wise, and you're dealing with the growing pains of that. A lot of traffic, as you mentioned, on the highways, and housing prices going up and things like that. What have you learned about how to deal with growth over the last many years in Colorado?
Well, growth is the consequence of success, right? If you're, whether you're a business, a city, or a state, you know, you're trying to grow. Nothing stays the same. And if you're shrinking, it's a whole different kettle of fish, right? It's a much worse situation. But growth, the trick is you've got to get way out ahead of it. I would argue that's a big part of why Denver and Colorado have done so well is we have invested in our future.
But you're still dealing with terrible traffic.
That's the problem with success. Is that imagine if we hadn't done that investment, we'd be sunk. But the bottom line is now we're looking at the next generation of infrastructure and how do we expand our capacity at the same time dealing with the traffic we have right today, expand our capacity for the next 5 and 10 years.
I want to ask you about marijuana because 5 states are voting on Election Day about whether to legalize recreational marijuana, including California. 4 more states, medical. This state, both of those are legal. I know you weren't in favor of it at the time, but what do you think about how it's worked out in Colorado to have legal recreational marijuana?
Yeah, I did oppose it when it was on the ballot 4 years ago. I think the jury's still out. And when other governors ask me, I tell them they should wait a couple of years. But I will say that we have come a long way. And a lot of our fears and our nightmares haven't come to pass. We haven't seen a big spike of teenage consumption. We haven't seen some of the driving while high. We were very worried that we'd see a dramatic increase in that. Some indications that people smoke it more frequently now, adults. And that we have seen an increase in teenage consumption, but not a huge amount. So we're trying to put more money towards marketing, telling teenagers that this high THC marijuana, when your brain's still growing rapidly as a teenager, it has the high probability of taking a sliver of your long-term memory permanently. And that's a very bad idea for teenagers to even think about using high THC marijuana while they're still teenagers. And we're going to get that message out. But the fear that it was going to be a giant spike really hasn't happened.
So your advice to other governors right now would be?
I would say wait a year or two. That's what I've said pretty consistently.
If they have the choice, although in this case they don't because
right, exactly.
The people will decide.
Well, exactly. They're in the situation like I am that you say, you know, I opposed it. But once they voted for it, it's my job to make sure that we do the very best we can to try and make a regulatory system that works.
I have one other question that I have to ask you, which is, I say Colorado, but people here, it seems like, say Colorado. Well, how do you say it? And what's the difference?
I say Colorado.
Do it again?
Colorado.
Okay.
Like the people here.
I mean, people here.
I think when I came out here, I said Colorado. It's like Nevada or Nevada, right? when you're in the West, everybody says Nevada.
So do people get annoyed when I say Colorado?
No, no, they just figure you're from, you know, from
outside,
Boston.
Right, right.
You're from away. It's a, you know, my brew pub that I started back in when I got, after I got laid off as a geologist, and I couldn't find any work back in the mid 80s. So I opened this brew pub down in what's now called Lodo, lower downtown Denver, in 1988. And we named it, it's the corner of 18th and Winecoop Street, W-Y-N-K-O-O-P. Mm-hmm. And so we called it Winecoop. But then a lot of people started calling and saying, well, but it's Wincoop. And it became apparent very soon after we opened that it was almost 50-50. So from then on, I tried to encourage people to pronounce it the opposite way that they were so that they would start discussions and arguments over the dinner table at home so that it would keep the name top of mind. It was cheap, sleazy marketing.
Very smart marketing, yeah. Well, Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you bet. It's my pleasure. Enjoyed it.